Welcome back to our middle school podcast, and thanks for joining us again. And welcome back to term three. I hope families enjoyed a great holiday, and that the boys have settled back into to term three nice and seamlessly. My name is Greg O'Neill. I'm the head of middle school, and I thank you for joining us. Joining me today is our pastoral area leader in middle school, Mr. Peter Simpson. Pete, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
We are slightly smiling here because we recorded this podcast about half an hour ago and it didn't work. So we're now re-recording the podcast. So we're just saying, is it ever better the second time?
Definitely not.
We're going to make it better. And we're going to make it better. What we're talking about today, and I was sent this article that was published by the ABC News, written by Amanda Smith and Sophie Kesteven, and they talk about Sam Walker, who was the founding sports editor for the Wall Street Journal, and his book, The Captain Class, A New Theory of Leadership, from 2007. And they talk about his work, and their article is, A Sports Writer Finds the Best Teams in History and discovers the one thing that they all have in common. So as a sports enthusiast, when this was sent to me, I obviously clicked the link and really enjoyed the read and the summary by Smith and Kesteven of Walker's work. So I want to give you a bit of an outline of this work and hopefully link it back to our work here at school. So in order to identify the best teams in history, he developed a process, and what he did was identify some of the most successful teams across 37 different sports dating right back to the 1880s. And in the end, with the criteria that he developed, only 17 teams met his criteria, with about 106 teams only just missing out. And they were from a variety of sports, from rugby league, rugby union, basketball, European handball, volleyball, NFL, gridiron, and Australian rules football, soccer. And he went about looking at what was the most common factor that they all shared. Pete, if I was to ask you that question, which I'm asking you now for the second time, what would most people say is the number one factor that you would think the most successful sporting teams had in common?
Well, I think the most obvious sense would probably be talent, individual talent of the players.
Correct, and that's where he started. And when he dissected these 17 teams, he realised that, well, not all these 17 teams were actually filled with talent. Their depth charts were not as strong, and he had to move on to tactics and coaching, but again found out that some were tactically good and others weren't. Was it resourcing? Was it money? And again, some were really well resourced and others were not well resourced at all. So he ultimately came down to looking at captains. I just want to share with you this quote before I throw to you, Pete. There was one common element that glued together every great sporting team that has sustained excellence over a long period of time. The one thing that was common was that thing that I noticed early on. It was the odd characters. When I started looking at them, it was obvious. The beginning of the winning streak and the end of the winning streak for all of these teams corresponded very closely, if not precisely, to the arrival and departure of one player. And that player, in every single case, would become the leader or the captain of the team. As individuals, all of these captains differed greatly in personality, but they all shared one thing in common, their approach to leadership. So, Pete, you've coached, you know, as have I, a number of successful schoolboy teams, both here and at other schools. If you immediately reflect on your successful teams, would it have that in common, the leadership, the captain of the team or the leader of the team?
Yeah, so look, if I think back to all my coaching that I've done, the one team that stands out was a second 13 side at St. Brendan's College. And, you know, for a number of reasons, but since we're on the topic of captains, the captain's one of them. He was a quirky character. He was a challenger. He was in lots of ways fearless. He was fearless in terms of not only the way he played his football, but also in terms of his leadership. He never worried about what other people thought. But he was a real challenger, and I certainly, you know, had to adapt my coaching style to suit his type of personality. And how that manifested was, like, from pretty much day dot, once we played, next training session Tuesday, it was a sit down. And I didn't lead that session. He did, because it was his natural, all his natural traits coming through. He would tell us what we did well. He would tell us what we didn't do well. He'd be saying what we need to work on. The team did have a little bit of talent. This was a guy that went on and played NRL, and there was another boy that went on to play NRL as well, but that's not why they meshed together as a team. I think it was that leadership. There was a quirkiness to the team that we developed. There was this camaraderie, and we felt we were a unique team. We felt we were the best team on the planet, whether we were the coach or the water boy.
In order for when Walker then continued his process, he went on and interviewed all the living captains and heaps of the teammates of that captain, and trying to look for what those commonalities are. And what he found was that they all made the same kind of decisions, and they had the same philosophy of leadership and management. They weren't always the superstar. They weren't always the someone who would carry the team on the court or on the field with their ability. Weren't always super charismatic, and many didn't like attention, but preferred to labour in the shadows. And I just want to share this next little quote from the article from the ABC. It says, Sam adds that a lot of people think that leadership is about your output, but it's really about your input and what you do for that team behind the scenes. These captains were willing to do whatever it took to help the team win, whether or not they got credit for it or not. You have to really be willing to sacrifice of yourself and then do all those little acts of service and labour behind the scenes to help the team. He also noted that captains he studied rarely liked giving speeches. Rather, they would pull people aside in the moment when they needed something, whether it was encouragement or a talking to, and they would have that very intense conversation. It was a conversation, and they would listen and talk, and there would be this high level of engagement and eye contact in a very one-on-one way and not in front of people. That's how they communicated, and that's a lot of work, and not everyone has the motivation to put in that kind of work. End quote. So he identified and went on to identify these qualities of leadership which form the basis of this book, that these common leaders had in common. And when you hear this list, these are skills that we want to instill in our leadership levels within schools, and we want to instill in our students and our sons. These were the six that he identified: doggedness and grit and determination, selflessness, emotional control, principled dissent, functional leadership and a focus on the how of leadership as opposed to just the doing, and practical communication. I see these as such profound 21st century skills that are required in nearly all industries, skills that will help our young people if we can develop these skills in our young people, and that they will excel and exceed in what they do. And I think about, Pete, the sporting teams that I follow, and I follow a lot of basketball and Australian rules, and when I read that quote and read that list, I immediately think of Luke Hodge, who played originally for the really successful Hawthorn team, winning multiple premierships, and then was at retirement age, was brought up to Brisbane by the coach Fagan, and I got to watch him more closely as a spectator. And you see that doggedness, selflessness, emotional control, principled dissent, communication, even on field. He's not the best player out there, but he's the way he works with his teammates. And he wasn't the captain, but his leadership presence had such a profound input and impact on that team. And that's what this article talks about. And you follow rugby league. I'm sure you see that in those things in rugby league players as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in Melbourne Storm, Cam Smith, you know, he's all those things. He, you know, we've often had a conversation about, you know, could, you know, anyone have been as good as coach as Bellamy, because he had Cam Smith, the, you know, the master of all these things: doggedness, selflessness, emotional control. Well, most of the time. And, you know, that functional leadership. So he really hits all those things. And so it's no surprise to see that the most successful rugby league team in modern history is the Melbourne Storm. You know, and I think of great Australian rugby teams, you know, I've probably got to go back to John Eales as a leader and the success that they had during the period that he was at his peak.
In the classroom, you know, as a skill set for a learner, these are skills not just for leaders, but they are such, I think, really important skill sets that we as teachers should be modelling. And as parents and teachers trying to foster in our young men, I mean, you must see some of these skills in, you teach Year 9, and you must see some of these skills in your own classrooms.
Absolutely. Look, I teach 3 Year 9 maths classes, and, you know, doggedness, you can see people modelling that all the time, you know, and it's such a great skill to have, that no matter where you are on your mathematic level ability, whether you're at the C level, at the A level, just coming back with those questions, you know, it is just amazing, the selflessness. You know, better mathematicians helping those ones that aren't so good. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it might be to the detriment of their own marks because they're putting more time into others than themselves. So, you know, we have boys modelling this in the classroom all the time. So we're sort of very lucky in terms of, you know, what we're seeing in the classroom.
We were on playground duty yesterday talking about the importance of temperament for a learner, you know, and those guys who just, in whatever subject field, we were referring to maths at the time, those guys who can just keep sticking with it, stay calm. When they can't solve something, they know what to do about it, and don't get overly frustrated or, you know, emotionally drained by the work, and just keep that level of calm. And it's a skill set that not every student has, and I don't think these aren't skill sets that every adults have, but the aspiration of this, you know, of our middle school, of our college, is to really develop this skill set and foster these skills within our young men, because, you know, I read them again, as far as lifelong skills, doggedness, grit, agility, selflessness, emotional regulation, principled dissent, knowing when to stand up for what you believe and speak about it, that capacity to be functional leadership, and the way you communicate practically. I mean, these are huge, you know, really important skill set that we want to create in our young men. And I've loved reading this article, and it's links to sport, and it's something I've shared with our teachers, and have them reflect on the important role that they play in their classrooms, both modelling leadership but also fostering those skills.
Look, you know, look, I've touched on a few other things there too, but, you know, just in terms of the practical communication, like, you know, I would hope that the students in my class are aware of, there's two things running simultaneously here in terms of their learning. One is, you know, learning about mathematics, but the other one is learning how to do exams, right? So they're, and they're, you know, in some ways related, but in otherwise, there's a whole different skill set to doing an exam as opposed to just doing everyday maths. And, you know, so when you talk about that, having them talk about it, having them talk, you know, when their discussion is about how we practice for an exam, how do you prepare for that? You know, that's all, when it's coming from other students, it's so much more powerful. And that's that idea of your captains. You know, if you've got the good captains that have got those conversations going, you know, things are going well.
Pete, thanks for joining us again for the podcast. I reckon it was better second time around. Well, I don't know. We can't hear the first one, so we'll never know. Look, thank you for joining into the podcast. I will share the link to the ABC article beneath this, so feel free to have a click and a link. It talks a little bit about Michael Jordan later on, that references The Last Dance. But I felt it a easy read, but also one that have stimulated some conversation around the staff room and the role we play as parents and teachers for our young men. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
And we hope that you can tune in next week. Bye for now.